Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
All right, welcome back to another season of Conversations About Light. I am joined here with Jib and Josh on this fine sunny morning here in Perth.
Beautiful.
Absolutely lovely.
Good morning.
Morning. How are we doing?
I'm very well, thanks. Good to be surfing the airwaves again.
That's right. Surfing the airwaves. Nice. I'm really looking forward to the season of topics that we're diving into. I believe it's called Eternally Human.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right. A new series, 10 weeks on it being eternally human.
Man, I can't wait what it looks like to be eternally human.
You're it,
yeah. So before we jump into it, I don't have a specific question for you guys.
Praise God.
Jib's face was priceless. She's like, oh my goodness, what's he about to ask? But we've been in holidays on a bit of a break. Hopefully we've been able to have some rest, potentially spend some time with the family. So the question is, what have you been up to?
Yeah, look, I've been learning not to have side projects. Due to a change in work situation, I normally have a lot of stuff that I work on.
Like your Mustang and...
My side projects are like...
Your moustache.
Open source programming projects, articles about programming. I love that space and really just kind of spend too much time in it. And now my work situation has changed. I can't really spend time on those projects anymore. And so I found myself, when I have a couple free hours, going, oh, I can do something else with this time. Like, I have to do something else with this time. I can read the Bible or play a video game or spend more time with the kids or like something that's not scrounging together time to get down this quick article idea that I wanted to get out or something like that. So I've been finding the fact that this happens to coincide with the holidays, I found it... surprisingly restful, even though school holidays don't impact me that directly.
Right. Yeah, very cool. What about you, Josh?
I love how Jib put reading the Bible and playing video games in the same sentence. Sounds great.
Well, he obviously has so much fun with both.
Totally, yeah. I feel like I'm the opposite. School holidays do impact our family quite a bit. My wife and I both work, so then it's a scramble to arrange
four kids.
What's going on? What they're going
to
do?
We've got a little audience here today.
Yeah, they're actually with me today. They're not in the studio, but they are here somewhere in the building. Just pray that they make it to the end of it.
You hear a fire alarm go off and Josh sprints out.
If I have to leave,
we know why.
So yeah, it always feels kind of intense around school days, but at the same time, we do try and do do nice things with the kids as well. So it's a bit of a intense, but also some pleasure.
I suppose that's like what it is for a lot of families. If both parents are working, holidays aren't a very restful time. It's more like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do?
Yeah,
very cool. I've been doing a bit of fly in, fly out work. So I've been working half the holiday and then got some time with the family this week. So it's quite nice.
Big swings of work, and then heaps of downtime, right?
Yeah, so it's getting used to like... How do you enter back into the rhythms of life without, like, you want to switch off from work, but you don't want to just switch off from everything.
Yeah,
why not?
That's just not my dream, Josh. Awesome. Well, the thematic introduction for this series is my own humanity. So maybe... Yeah. Setting up what the series is going to look like, you guys can share what's the topic's going to be, what we can expect as a community, why we've decided to speak into these topics as well. So
Good, if I can start really shallow, because I know Josh will be good at going deep.
I love it.
I love your confidence.
We believe in a physical resurrection. And so sometimes when we talk about eternity, or maybe our culture talks about the idea of an afterlife or heaven as sort of like us all as angels flying around on clouds, yeah. Right? It's sort of this spiritual, it's sort of it's totally disconnected to what physical creation is like. But the reality is the picture that we get of eternity, the expectation when Jesus comes in and he's talking to the Pharisees and he's affirming their notion of a resurrection and telling the Sadducees, no, you're wrong that there's no resurrection and it's going to work. Mm. It is a bodily resurrection. It's going to be different in that there won't be sin, we won't be broken, but it is really eternal, holy fleshiness, right? Yeah. And so what are the implications of that as we live in a broken fleshiness now and look forward to eternal, holy fleshiness? I'm saying that way too much.
Very good. Well, I love how you started off saying you just want to start off shallow and then you hit us with eternity and resurrection. Yeah, so
all the simple stuff.
Yeah, all the simple stuff for you, Jim.
That's right.
What about you, Josh?
I think when I think of this series, by introduction, the elders and wives went away and were just sort of planning and dreaming together. And when we looked at the story of the gospel, we thought King's Cross has a great culture of understanding certain parts of the gospel, but we'd love to grow in other parts of the gospel. And the resurrection was one of those parts we discussed and hope to sort of bring more into the culture of the church. So I think we understand our brokenness. We understand that Jesus paid for our brokenness and we're dependent on him and we can call out to him and reach out to him to help us. But the idea in resurrection is that God has rescued everything and there is life there. Jesus, the first fruits of the resurrection, you know, he's the first one who raised from the dead, which means we will rise from the dead. And so what does that mean? Yes, we're in trouble. Yes, we're broken. But there's life, there's resurrection, there's help. There's our last series on the Holy Spirit and how he walks with us and helps us. And the fact that life is available because of the resurrection. The resurrection changes everything. And kind of the hope of this series is to speak the resurrection into all the things that we might think are broken, you know, and which are broken.
Yeah.
How does the life of God, the resurrection of Jesus, what does that mean? For us in various contexts,
Yeah, absolutely. So, that big idea that the resurrection changes everything, how does it change everything? And we can't tackle all of that in 1 week. So 1 week we'll look at mental health. Another week we'll look at gender. Another week we'll look at dying. Another week we'll look at self-image. There's so many different ways that we can explore. When we say the resurrection impacts everything, let's pick 10 aspects of everything and explore those. Yeah. So it should be a good term.
Yeah. And I think also what it means, like what it means to be human, and I think I was saying to Jib and you before, the Genesis story, there's this perfect setup, like God made it and it was good. And then that sin, as we well know, sin enters and it breaks everything.
Yeah.
So our humanity becomes broken in some way. And the story of the whole scriptures is really that struggle. It was particularly in the Old Testament, there's this struggle you see through Judges and Kings where things go, they try to piece it back together and it doesn't work. They try a new king and that doesn't work. They try all sorts of things. They're trying to piece it back together and it never works. And so there's this kind of longing that how are we going to fix this? Death, sin and death is taken over.
Yeah.
Like there's a problem and we can't patch it back. We can't Humpty Dumpty this, you know. There's just no way of doing it. And so it gets really desperate. And the arrival of Jesus is God's restoration of back to life, back to the defeat of sin and death. So there's no way to put it all back together. And so when we look at our lives, we see, we have all these struggles. But now with the arrival of Jesus, the crucifixion and the resurrection, what it means is, I think there's a book by this title called Everything Sad is Undone. I think that's how the title goes. But basically it just means everything that is broken is now undone. All the way up to death itself is undone. Wow.
Yeah.
And so I think as Jib was starting with, like, there's eternal life and it's good. There's no sin there. And yep, it's in our bodies. And that's like our assumption is, our bodies are broken. I want to get out of this. I want to escape this because my body, I'm getting older. I try to go to the gym, but that doesn't help. You know, my body's dying. What what's going to happen? My emotions, I can have emotions that take me to dark places. How is there any hope? What will become of me? Sexuality, all shame, all these things which are breaking us. Yeah. Is there any hope? Mm. And the resurrection of Jesus says, yes, there is. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Mm. So, with all of that, what would you say is like a grounding? We want to base things on the Bible and on scripture. What would you say is a grounding passage for these discussions?
Well, for me, Caleb, I think of 1 Corinthians 15, which will come up in the series, but I might just read a small section of it. And this kind of speaks to what we've been discussing already, and I'll just read it. Paul writes, I'll read from verse 12 and we can maybe make some comments on it, but it says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead?" And so this is what Jib was talking about earlier, this kind of debate of like, is there resurrection? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised from the dead. And if Christ is not raised from the dead, our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So it's all worthless. If there is no fixing of this problem of death and sin, then things really are hopeless.
Yeah.
For we are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He has raised Christ from the dead, and if He didn't raise Christ from the dead. So I'll just move down to verse 16. It says, "For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." Wow. So the resurrection, if there's no resurrection, means there's no escaping sin. Yeah. Now those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. So it's just eternal death, not eternal life. They've perished, they're gone. "And if in Christ we have hope for this life only, we are people most to be pitied." So like the resurrection means if there's no resurrection, there is no hope.
Yeah.
What a terrible place to be. And that's why I think people who don't know Jesus really, when they think, if they think deeply about it, end up there. You know, there is really no hope.
Yeah.
"But if in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, for in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, sorry. For as by a man death came, so by a man has come also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam everyone dies, so in Christ shall all be made alive." And really, and then he goes on to talk about, and he will deliver the kingdom when he comes back. He will rule all things. All authority will be his. So Jesus is going to fix everything, you know. Like, where's the problems? Well, in every sort of level of authority, every level of life, Jesus is going to fix it. And then he ends it like this: "For the last enemy to be destroyed is even death itself. Death will be done away with." So I think this is like a key text for me. In the series, it really kind of frames what we're talking about, like the resurrection effects is the answer with everything.
Yeah. It's huge. Paul basically says without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. There's nothing. Our hope is gone. Our hope is futile. And it really is true. It points a little bit to one of the things it is to be Christian is to not expect fulfillment of all of our desires prior to the resurrection.
Mm.
And so one of those ideas of, well, if there is no resurrection, we of all people are to be pitied.
Yeah.
We're, you know, putting off the notion of really trying finding true fulfillment and satisfaction to some later event that won't actually happen.
Yeah.
And yet of all the, of anything in history that to me points to the reality of Christianity, it is the resurrection, where we know, as far as historical evidence goes, that all sorts of different influential figures and thought leaders and people who began religions probably existed by the influence of their teachings but their claims, you can't really test if their claims are truly divine. Whereas Jesus said he'd die and rise again. He has witnessed, as we see earlier on in chapter 15, He was witnessed by so many people. And that is what accounts for the boom of Christianity under pressure from Judaism for it not to grow, under pressure a little bit later on from Rome for it not to grow. There's actually so much evidence pointing towards Jesus' actual resurrection, and Christianity hinges on the reality of Jesus' resurrection. So I think it's a wonderful thing that those two things come together. There's kind of like the most important thing in Christianity, and it's the most powerful proof, I think, in Christianity from a very kind of simplistic historical point of view. I say his simplistic historical point of view because our own lives, we can testify to the reality of God's involvement in our lives, of the Spirit in our lives, of what it means to have Christ in us. But in sort of like a very broad view, the resurrection is the biggest proof of Christianity, and it's the most important thing to be true about Christianity.
Yeah.
And why is it so important though? Not just that we have hope, but what are the implications for how we live?
Very good. So just in closing this intro, what's a hope for our community to get from this series?
I think, Caleb, when I think about the implications of this series, you know, we've talked about the resurrection, but when I think, what difference does that make in our lives? And I think that's where we'd be aiming at, because I find for myself, I often live, I might have a more hopeless frameworks in some areas of my life.
Sure.
Whether it's, you know, issues of emotions or you may be struggling with even physical sickness or areas of sexuality and gender and, or you, in any area of your body or life, not just your body, you know, and even death itself, you know, you may have fears. And so I find across my life, as I experience it, I have fears rather than hopes. And I think the resurrection just speaks hope to all of life. And so I guess I would hope as a church that we see the hope of the resurrection, that resurrection life brings hope into areas where we fear. And we all have those, you know. And so I guess maybe a question would be, as we embark in this series, how can you think through the resurrection in the areas of your fears? Like, what are your biggest fears, or what are the things you struggle with the most, and what areas of your existence, within your body or your mental or physical, what are those areas that you have fears and struggles? And God, would you speak your hope through the resurrection of Jesus? Look at the hope that is and the certainty that's in the resurrection. That would be amazing.
Yeah, awesome. There's I feel, as I've been growing as a Christian, and the wisdom that I often get from more experienced Christians than I am, kind of brings this simplicity to our faith, in that, like, whatever issue you have, how does the grace of God speak into it? Yeah. How does Jesus' death speak into it? How does everything ultimately being for the glory of God speak into it? These are kind of quite wide lenses through which you can look at everything. And one of the challenges for us is learning to look at more and more things through that lens. So I love that idea Josh is putting forward there, of expanding our resurrection lens, and learning how to look at every aspect of our life through the resurrection lens as well. What does that mean for our fears? I think that's really practical and really good.